Constitution, demanding the rights of we the people, broadcasting the truth, the puppet media dare not report. Long live liberty and death to the new world order. Prepare yourself. This is the alternative media.
The alternative media. This is your Saturday broadcast where we discuss current events, politics, the disinformation, lies, deceit, and propaganda, the mainstream corporate-owned puppet media, and the fact that the federal government of the United States no longer has any resemblance whatsoever of representation of we the people. It is Saturday, November 25th, 2017. We're in hour one of the broadcast. I got a lot of news and information to cover today, as usual. But before we get started, it is Thanksgiving weekend, the holiday of Thanksgiving, and you know, I took a little time to do just a little bit of reflecting, and I think that's good for everyone to do at times. And for me, you know, looking back, having done this broadcast, various networks since 2008, finally landing at home here at RBN. It's amazing, really. I guess I'm like everybody else listening, how your views and opinions do change over time with the more that you learn, and how that affects you and your interaction with your family when you have holidays like this, with your opinions, which are extremely contrary to possibly the majority of the rest of your family, unfortunately. But, you know, I thought it was kind of interesting just to take a look back how different my views and opinions are than they were just 3, 4, 5, 7, 8. It will be 10 years come March of next year, March 1st, since I restarted this broadcast. I actually was doing some of this in the late 90s, believe it or not. But, you know, I guess we all grow as we learn, and what we know changes. But, you know, it's darn near December 2017. This year has flown by. It makes me feel old to say this, but that old cliche that you were always told when you were a kid about how time flies, and you didn't believe it because when you were a kid it was forever. If something was 2 weeks away, it was like forever. But now that just seems like practically the blink of an eye. And I guess, you know, that will not change. I guess it does keep speeding up as you go forward, because it's amazing that, you know, we're facing December, and what a year, 2017. I mean, look at how, I'm not exactly certain when they started ramming this transgender down our throat. I guess it was right after they succeeded at homosexuality. But, I mean, that is just been everywhere this year. And of course you can see how the mainstream media picks up the talking point and then just runs with the ball. We may talk about that more as we go through the first hour. We're going to be taking phone calls in the second hour. Got a couple of clips we're going to be playing throughout the broadcast. I have to get this one in first. I mean, you know, I'm not sure when I started really paying attention to the plight of the white nationalist movement. I would say a couple of years ago or so, and I was unaware before that. I was unaware of how, when this certain group tries to organize or just hold meetings amongst themselves, attempting to be left alone and discuss their opinion, something that any other group, whether it be homosexuals, whether it be Hispanics, whether it be Jews, whether it be blacks, any other group can absolutely do, unless it's white nationalist or really any kind of pro-white organization, then, you know, there's all kinds of condemnation, which we're going to talk about here shortly. But listen to this. Now, this is a Newsweek, November 22nd, which was Wednesday. And I'm sure, you know, all of your mainstream media has covered this. I'm sure everyone is aware of this one, because I'm here to tell you, Newsweek and a few that cover, that carried it because of Newsweek is about all that I've seen of this. Now, listen to this. This is the title. Now, hold on. Radical Islamic groups call for jihad at meeting near Washington, D.C. Groups of Sunni Muslim extremists gathered in a Holiday Inn in Northern Virginia over the weekend and call for followers to wage jihad or holy war against the infidels. The radical extremists didn't call for violence against Jews or Christians, but instead used the so-called Final Prophet Conference to rage against another group of Muslims that, like most American Muslims, doesn't support violent jihad. The Pakistani-American Inmans, who led the event, bashed the Muslim community, a religious movement founded in 19th century in India, according to one participant who attended the event. Among the main complaints was that the Ahmadi Muslims criticized violence and forbid waging jihad against non-Muslim groups. Because Islam is being attacked from all corners, we as Muslims should work together, but glory be to Allah, we have decided not to support anything Ahmadi Muslims say, Mufti Shahzad Hussein, an Inman in Virginia who addressed the participants, was quoting. The conference organizers led two groups registered as corporations in Virginia, just a short drive from the U.S. Capitol. The groups are working to export their extremist ideology and intolerance into the United States. Free speech doesn't mean the freedom to promote violence. These people are as bad as the Nazis marching in Charlottesville, a spokesperson for the Ahmadiyya Muslim community in the U.S. told Newsweek. Every group has extremists, whether they are Christians, Muslims, Jews, or Buddhists. I would like to see an environment where these radical ideologies are rooted out. It goes on to say that let me scroll down here just a second. It is important for our fellow Americans to understand that the extremists are not fighting Christians. They are fighting all humanity, including Muslims who disagree with their fanaticism. The story goes on to say that they were calling for jihad against America and a holy war. They were cloaking it by referring to America by using another word. But what I found interesting about this is here a group of extremist Muslims can, one, rent a Holiday Inn. You know, people's not calling the ADL, the SPLC, any of these groups. They're not calling. Antifa's not calling the hotel to threaten all of their workers with violence. There's no condemnation of this. This is just A-okay. It's okay for any group. This group can get together. They can call for jihad against the United States of America. They can meet in a Holiday Inn. It's all fine and dandy. And the news media won't even cover the story. But if a group of about 50 try to meet in Tennessee while the local newspapers are down there writing lies, taking pictures, trying to dox them because it's not okay to be white. It's certainly not okay to be white and talk about any of these issues such as reverse discrimination, and the violence that is so obvious, the white, anti-white bias in the news media, which they are baiting and exposing clearer and clearer every day. But I thought it was interesting. Newsweek runs this story, not a mention of it in the mainstream media. And moving on, I wanted to get this story, and it's interesting to see what's going on in California. Now, this is a story by Eric Stryker. California is a canary in the coal mine. It's one of America's majority minority states with a mega wealthy Jewish aristocracy, Silicon Valley and Hollywood. Its cities have the living standards of Osaka at Geneva prices. The average apartment in L.A. goes for $2,107. This is the New World Order price for housing, a product of real estate speculation, illegal immigration fueled by overpopulation and wage stagnation and mass unemployment, which was at 25% in 2010 and may not be much better now. Since local governments are run by corrupt Mexicans on the city council level, you should only consider things are going to get only worse as the low trust society multiculturalism creates and the fact that some of the hobos are violent and with so many junkies, public toilets are few and far between. Now, Fox News has reported that an outbreak of hepatitis A is spreading through Los Angeles County after leaping from a large homeless contingent in San Diego, threatening thousands of people and fueling criticism that local officials have not done enough to contain the deadly liver disease. Hundreds of cases have turned up in Southern California, as well as Michigan, but conditions in Los Angeles, where roughly 50,000 people live on the streets, have prompted deeper concerns. Reports compiled by volunteer organizations have faulted city officials for not providing enough accessible toilets, as the homeless population has sharply increased by 23% this year. In a warning in June of 2017, a report collected by a collection of nonprofits called the LA Central Providers Collaborative sounded the alarm about crowding and living conditions on Skid Row, citing the city's own predictions about the increased risk for hepatitis A and other diseases. One would think Los Angeles, one of the greatest cities in the world, would exceed these minimal standards. However, this audit finds that in Skid Row, Los Angeles fails to meet even the standard for a refugee camp, the report said. During overnight hours, there are only 9 public toilets available for 1,777 unsheltered homeless people on Skid Row, and these toilets are largely inaccessible. The report noted that the United Nations refugee camp standard are 1 toilet for every 20 people. So I did that story just to just for us to reflect back how far we have fallen. You know, it is one, it's obvious to anyone, you know, the dangers and the diseases that are involved with just homosexuality. And, of course, the mainstream media never discusses any of these dangers. It's actually, you know, to never, ever point out the disparity in how much more dangerous it is to have that lifestyle is tantamount to, you know, not pointing out that poison, a bottle of poison will kill you. But that's what they do. And it's the same with this multiculturalism, this massive illegal immigration. It leads to homelessness. It leads to more crime. It leads to so many various effects that are detrimental to society, but yet it's all promoted and glamorized. And actually, if you oppose, as we see now all through the media, if you oppose illegal mass immigration, if you oppose transgender, and if you oppose any of this, people want to beat you up on the street, key your car, they want to actually justify violence against people that have an opposing political opinion or an opposing moral opinion or perhaps even a opposing religious opinion. This is where they're taking this. It has moved so far just in 2017. And at the same time, you know, we talk about it from various points of view that well, at the same time, yeah, it's getting worse in several different ways, but more people perhaps are waking up. At least I believe that's true with a large segment of the youth. And when I say the youth, I'm talking about maybe the 25 and under crowd. I don't see that much sway maybe in my age generation and older, at least from my perspective where I live at. That's all I can speak to. But, you know, sadly, as it is to have to say it, isn't it our generation, my generation, that, you know, helped piss it away because we couldn't see it, we couldn't put it together until we got older? The younger generation is putting it together through the help of Daily Stormer and other websites that's using humor and pointing out the, you know, just the massive hypocrisy in these in the news media, in these celebrities. I mean, it's so easy to do, especially with the way mainstream media and television just rubs the anti-white bias in your face constantly, 24/7, on practically every channel now. I mean, it's just never lets up. Never lets up. And even your local news is still a reflection of this. So when we see the story in California and we see they've got massive homelessness, they've got people defecating in the streets, and of course California is just a total bastion. Huh, I haven't moved anything. Check, are we okay, Sam? Okay, apparently we've got a little static on this end. I don't know what the problem is. If it continues, we'll move to, we'll do it by phone. All right, I'm going to move on from that story, and when we come back after the break, we're going to play a couple of clips. But this is a story from Breitbart. U.S. State Department put $700,000 into Hungarian media, demands programming against Orban and Patriots. Now, how about this story? Here, all of this for the last, what, year, our mainstream media has decried the meddling of Russia. How dare they meddle or spend money? And it's not the Russian government. It may be originated somewhere from Russia. It's probably all staged. It probably actually originated from Israel through Russia to here, even if it even happened. I don't know. But the hypocrisy here is unbelievable, because we meddle in every other country of the world that we want to. Even Netanyahu was accusing Obama of meddling in their elections. We meddle in everyone's elections. And I don't think we even deny it. The U.S. State Department has courted controversy by announcing it will plow $700,000 into Hungarian media, angering the country's anti-globalist conservative government. Well, you see, that says it all right there. If there's any government in the world and they attempt to be anti-globalist, if the people elect leaders by their own democratic vote that doesn't, toe the line of the America agenda, which still looks like it is globalist to very much a far extent. I mean, you can see that Donald Trump's done some good things, but there's a lot left to do. My faith in Donald Trump's not that strong. The funding for this was announced by U.S. Charge D Affairs, David Kostel Alkick, gosh, who has previously appeared to openly criticize the Trump administration by alluding to apparent inconsistencies in U.S. foreign policy and remarking that not every criticism of the government is fake news. Breitbart London spoke to a State Department official who confirmed its support for what it calls democracy and human rights programming in many countries, and that its intentions in Hungary, which is a NATO ally, are to support media outlets operating outside the capital to produce fact-based reporting and increase their audience and economic sustainability. Just like, it's in our national interest to sway public opinion in a NATO ally's country in Hungary, which leader is anti-immigration, is anti-globalist, is somewhat pro-nationalist. So the State Department has to try to control and manipulate the minds in other countries that are our allies, and you, the taxpayer, has to pay for it. Now, this is all considered just honky-freaking-dory. This is honky-freaking-dory because the big white hat, the United States of America, is coming riding in to sway the people to our points of view. And then look at California. Look at our country. Look at the devastation we've wreaked across the Middle East. Look at our past causing all of these endless wars, the death and the misery. But yet we're supposed to be held up to such a high moral standard that we're supposed to go around the world and interject our money and our influence into other countries' media to change their opinions, because we don't want them to be good little nationalists, and we certainly don't want them to be opposed to mass immigration, and we certainly want them on board with this endless war agenda. So we've got to change the minds of our allies in other countries and have the American taxpayer foot the bill. Coming up on a break, you're listening to the Alternative Media with Aaron. Back in moments.
For the the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Back on the Alternative Media Fair and in the studio, hoping that everything is cleared up just a little bit. I got a clip sent to me from Travis Goley, and it was just a kind of a special thanks on Thanksgiving. I thought it might be nice to play it. Let's go ahead and play that clip now, Sam.
White Lives Matters would like to say, from our family to yours, Happy Thanksgiving. As we all celebrate Thanksgiving, let's remember where it came from. In 1863 was the very first national Thanksgiving. It wasn't celebrated by Indians or diversity of any sort. It was white solidarity and white unity. Brothers fighting from the North and brothers fighting from the South. Though we disagreed on many things, we came together that day to give thanks and to break bread. Let us celebrate that today. White lives have always mattered and always will. From our people to yours. From our families to yours. Wherever our people are scattered, white lives do matter, and happy Thanksgiving.
All right, that was Travis Goley. Just to wrap up the story, $700,000 being put into programming in Hungary. The obvious subtext to all this is that the State Department funding effort is intended to bolster anti-government and opposition media. This suggests it is still pursuing Obama-era anti-conservative policy objectives internationally in defiance of President Trump, who has praised Prime Minister Orban, the first European leader to back him, as strong and brave. The Hungarian leader has maintained a position of strong opposition to globalist elites, the bureaucrats who serve them, the politicians in their pay, and the agents of the Soros-type networks that embody their interests, despite fierce opposition from Brussels, pro-mass immigration NGOs, and left-liberal U.S. media. Believing he is standing up for the silent majority of hard-pressed families across the West who wish to preserve their Christian heritage and national identity. So I say all that just to tell everyone, maybe keep an eye on things in Hungary, because it's interesting. And, of course, the United States of America, the gigantic hypocrite. Once again, I wanted to get this in quick where we've just got a few minutes. RT ran the story this week, you know, the FBI files on JFK seems to be the gift that just keeps on giving. Oswald killer Jack Ruby, you know, Jacob Rubenstein, told FBI informant to watch the fireworks the day JFK was shot, according to the documents. Now, freshly released FBI records show that Jack Ruby, the man who killed Lee Harvey Oswald, asked an FBI informant if he wanted to watch the fireworks hours before President John F. Kennedy's assassination. The document, which was among the 10,744 files released by the National Archive on Friday, outlines what an FBI informant told officials about Rubenstein, hinting that the nightclub owner knew that Kennedy was going to be targeted. In March 1977, nearly 14 years after JFK's assassination, the chief of the Intelligence Division of Internal Revenue Service, Robert J. Patricus, hand-delivered a letter to the agent Ted L. Gunderson of the FBI's Dallas office, which outlined that Ruby telephoned the informant on the morning of the fatal shooting of the president and asked him if he wanted to go watch the presidential parade. The informant stated that on the morning of the assassination, Ruby contacted him and asked him if he would like to watch the fireworks. The letter reads, he was with Jacob Rubenstein and standing at the corner of the Postal Annex building facing the Texas School Book Depository building at the time of the shooting. Immediately after the shooting, Rubenstein left and headed toward the area of the Dallas Morning News building. The follow-up documentation reveals that the informant was Bob Vanderslice of Dallas. In 1977, he told the FBI that Rubenstein said nothing to him immediately after the assassination. However, after Rubenstein was arrested for killing Oswald, Vanderslice was also arrested on an unrelated charge, and he got to know Rubenstein better in the Dallas County Jail. So here, just quickly to get this in, more evidence of what we all knew, that the Warren Commission and the federal government of the United States has been in cahoots of the cover-up of the assassination of JFK since 1963. And I thought this being, you know, close to the anniversary of that murder, might be good to talk about that just a little bit. We're coming up on a break. You're listening to The Alternative Media with Farron. Stay with me. Back in moments.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We're back on the Alternative Media Fair and in the studio, running down some of the news this week, and I got a couple emails there during the break. Next hour, we will be taking phone calls. I know people pointing out several different things about why possibly JFK was assassinated. He opposed Israel's nuclear arsenal that they were implementing. He opposed the Federal Reserve banking system. He was printing his own money. There's a whole litany, and we may never know all the truth, but we clearly know now what we already knew. But, you know, now what is it, 54 years later, we're finally getting a little bit of the facts that obviously this was a concerted effort and a cover-up. And I mean, this should be, but you know, it brings me back to, we talk about 9/11, and it was amazing to me how many people couldn't see through 9/11 at all, but yet they didn't believe the government's version of JFK. I always found that interesting. They trusted the government's version of 9/11, which was just, you know, unfreaking believable, the amount of evidence that was just bold-faced lies from beginning to end. But yeah, you know, they questioned JFK or didn't believe, you know, the Warren Commission, but clearly thought that Osama bin Laden living in a cave in Afghanistan caused three buildings to fall by being hit by two planes in 10 seconds. It's just amazing. I've been meaning to do this story for a while, and I just hadn't slowed down to do it, and I think it's important. So we're going to do this. If you've never looked at this website, ifamericansknew.org, ifamericansknew.org, the U.S. provides $10.1 million in military aid each day to Israel. Since the October War in 1973, Washington has provided Israel with a level of support dwarfing the amounts provided to any other state. It has also been the largest annual recipient of direct U.S. economic and military assistance since 1976, and the largest total recipient since World War II. Total direct U.S. aid to Israel amounts to well over $140 billion in 2003 dollars. Israel receives about $3 billion in direct foreign assistance each year, which is roughly one-fifth of America's entire foreign aid budget. In per capita terms, the United States gives each Israeli a direct subsidy worth about $500 a year. This largesse is especially striking when one realizes that Israel is now a wealthy industrial state with a per capita income roughly equal to South Korea or Spain. According to the report, the Congressional Research Service report, U.S. Foreign Aid to Israel, written by Jeremy M. Sharp, according to the report, the United States gave Israel $3.1 billion for fiscal year 2017 in direct bilateral military aid. Congress also authorized $600.7 million for joint U.S.-Israeli missile defense programs designed to protect Israel territory from potential outside threats, bringing total military aid to $3.7 billion per year. Put another way, American taxpayers give Israel $10.1 million per day. Now, do you think that, you know, this is certainly not because our Congress and our Senate and all of our former presidents are such big Christians that, you know, they're voting because, you know, their moral biblical standards dictate that they support God's chosen people. No, that is far from it. And I believe all of the sexual scandals that are cascading out of Washington, D.C. I mean, how about Conyers and some of the rest? All of these people now getting swooped up. They're in the swamp with all their sexual scandals. It's made me look forward to turning on the news to see which one of these filthers would be outed next. But they're not resigning. Do you think Al Frankenstein is going to resign? I doubt it very seriously. Although, you know, he and all of the rest of the sellout traitor super hypocrites were up there singing the demise of Roy Moore, who hadn't admitted to anything. And we talked about that last week. And I hope that he wins the election in Alabama just so that it's throwing a finger to the news media and to Washington, D.C., and especially to the Republican establishment. Although I'm no fan of Roy Moore because he's a Zionist, but either way, it is interesting to see it come to light that all of these lying hypocrites that hold themselves up as some kind of purveyors of morality, but all the while, just like I've said on this broadcast for years, the majority of them is a bunch of sick perverts, and it's all coming to light. They're all adulterers. They all cheat on their wives. They Not all, but as we see, as we see it coming to light. And of course, this Hollyweird story, that's been going on for decades. They've just now decided to report on this for whatever reason, maybe so they can out it all and then get it behind them. I mean, I will be surprised if Weinstein or any of the rest go to prison. I think Weinstein would flee to Israel and they wouldn't extradite him back here. But look, they have come out and said that someone like Harvey Weinstein can hire Black Cube and have Mossad agents, Israeli military, threaten and intimidate American citizens to cover up a crime of rape. And well, by golly, they don't even know if they want to investigate that or not. And Lester the Cuck Holt is certainly not leading off NBC's Nightly News with that story. Now, back to this. Over the last 20 years, the U.S. has slowly phased out economic aid to Israel and gradually replaced it with increased military aid. Now, some of what I found interesting here, because we all harp on, why do we even have foreign aid, when we're $20 trillion past bankrupt? But this is a little bit of a sleight of hand. In September 2016, the United States and Israeli government signed a new 10-year memorandum of understanding where the U.S. pledged to give Israel $38 billion in military aid, $33 billion in FMF grants, plus $5 billion in missile defense over the course of 10 years. Wow. The new MOU replaces the current $30 billion 10-year agreement signed by the Bush administration, which will expire in 2018. So Bush was signed up to give them $30 billion a year, and I guess Bum signed up to give them $38 billion a year. It must be nice. Israel is by far the largest recipient of U.S. foreign military aid. According to the CRS report, the president request for Israel for 2017 will encompass approximately 54% of total U.S. foreign military financing worldwide, the report continues. Annual FMF grants to Israel represent approximately 18.5% of the overall Israeli defense budget. Did you get that? We pay for 18.5% of the overall Israeli defense budget. Israel defense expenditures as a percentage of its gross domestic product was 5.4% and is one of the highest in the world. Contrary to ordinary U.S. policy, Israel has been and continues to be allowed to use approximately 26% of U.S. military aid to purchase equipment from Israeli manufacturers. Did you get that? According to the CRS report, no other recipient of U.S. military assistance has been granted this benefit. So they take the aid and then use it to fund companies in their own country to hire their own people to manufacture weapons, and all the while we're footing the bill for the entire process. Thanks in part to this indirect U.S. subsidy, Israel's arm industry has become one of the strongest in the world. Between 2001 and 2008, Israel was the seventh largest arms supplier to the entire world, selling $9.9 billion worth of equipment, and it continues to grow even stronger. In 2015, Israel sold $5.7 billion in military goods to other countries. Now, I did not know that. The former assistant Secretary of Defense from 2007 to 2009 asked, how inexplicable is it that we are competing against the Israelis in the Indian defense procurement market at the same time we're subsidizing the Israeli defense industry? What fools we are. A U.S. government source estimates that Israel is using approximately $1.2 billion each year, 38% of the aid it receives from the U.S., to directly support its domestic budget rather than to build on its arsenal of advanced U.S. equipment. The United States also contributes funds for a joint U.S.-Israeli missile defense program designed to thwart short-range missiles and rockets fired by non-state actors such as Hamas or Hezbollah, as well as mid- and longer-range ballistic missiles, Arrow 2, Arrow 3, David Sling, the Iron Dome refer to different projects under the umbrella of missile defense programs for 2017. Congress authorized $600 million and will likely give Israel $705 million for fiscal year 2018. which this passed the House on July 14, 2017. By all accounts, the United States will give more money to Israel than any other country. The Congressional Research Service conservative estimates of total cumulative U.S. aid to Israel from 1949 through 2015 is $127.4 billion. In October 2013, Washington Report article, a conservative estimate of total direct U.S. aid to Israel was $130 billion. So this story ends with, according to the report, the U.S. government has never provided Palestinians with any military aid. The Department of Defense Appropriations Act 2015, H.R. 4870, which passed the House in June of 2014, contained provisions that would prohibit funds made available by the act from being obligated to the Palestinians in any way, shape, or form. Aid to Palestinians is largely designated for the policy of their people as well as for humanitarian and development needs. Such funds are only authorized once Congress has received proof that they will be used for non-lethal assistance. So I thought it was interesting. I know that was a little bit lengthy, and I normally don't go into things quite this lengthy, but I'd seen these numbers. I'd heard other broadcasts. I'd seen this kind of fly, all over the place. I've heard people just kind of throw numbers around that I wasn't certain I could put any faith in. But this is the real numbers: $10 million a day, a total of $130 to $140 billion total. Roughly $3 billion, closer to $4 billion a year, $3.7 billion per year, $10 million per day goes to Israel. While look at the infrastructure in America, the homelessness in America. Look at the veterans that are homeless. I think 30,000 here in America. We don't have the money, so many of our sellout traders in Washington, D.C. say, to build the wall. Money is always, but there's always money for war. I found that interesting years ago, that any time there was any real issue or a need for something that we knew was good or positive or necessary, the excuse always was there was no money. But then if there was any way, any stretch of the imagination where we should get involved in some kind of ridiculous war with no justification whatsoever or fake justification, by golly, they don't talk about the money then. There's always plenty of money if it's war, and there's always plenty of money for Israel. $10 million a day. Makes you feel good when you pay your taxes come April 15th, doesn't it? All right, how about this? NewObserverOnline.com, I can't say enough. Not only do they do a great job reporting what's happening in the Middle East, what's happening throughout Germany and France and Great Britain, they do a better job reporting sometimes what's happening here in America. And, I mean, isn't it interesting? I don't know who these people are or where exactly they're at or how big their organization is. But, these small alternative media outfits like this with just a website that are doing the reporting that the mainstream media, absolutely refuses to do because it don't fit their agenda is really remarkable. Now listen to this. Around 50 teachers have resigned in the last 3 months from schools in the Harrisburg, Pennsylvania school district after being forced to flee mass group violence from students in the 97% non-white schools. Of course, you don't see this in the mainstream media. According to a report in the Philadelphia CBS Local, which, of course, ignores the school district's racial makeup, the teachers in the Pennsylvania's capital city are asking for support after a series of violent altercations with students has led to multiple resignations. Quoting the Harrisburg Education Association president, Jody Barksdale, the report says that at least 45 teachers have resigned just since from July to October, and more have resigned since then. Speaking at a school board meeting on Monday, first grade teacher, Amanda Schaefer, said she had been hit and she had been kicked by her students. This is the first grade teacher, mind you. According to the 2010 census, which is, you know, obviously 7 years old, Harrisburg white population had dwindled to about 30%. Blacks make up 54%, Hispanics 18%. However, the school demographic is far more revealing about the ethnic cleansing taking place in that state's capital. According to the official Harrisburg District 2012 to 2013 district profile, which again is 4 years old, there are a total of 6,311 students at elementary, secondary, and high school level in the district. It breaks down to 64% black, 26% Hispanic, 3.4% Caucasian, and 5.3% Asian. So, wow, if you look at the breakdown of the 6,311 children, it's less than 4% white. Even given that Caucasian could mean Arab or several different other ethnicities, it is thus fair to assume that the actual white element of the school population is roughly 3%. The official statistics reveal further that there are students from 23 countries enrolled in the district school, and they speak over 18 different languages. Now, look, this is a picture of the future as we go through this multicultural utopia where all of your schools are going to be speaking all these various languages. The first graders are going to be so violent they're beating up the teachers, and you see white flight like you've never seen it before. We're coming up on a break. You're listening to the Alternative Media with Fear. Back in moments.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath, head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
And we're back on the Alternative Media. Farron in the studio. I was running down this NewObserverOnline.com story. Teachers flee Pennsylvania's school system. And, you know, that we're going to see that. We're already seeing it. We're seeing it in the big cities as the demographics continue to change. What I find interesting is, you know, we see this all around us. We see the expense on the burden that it puts on the school system. We see the burden it puts on the tax system. We see the burden it puts on the prison system, the court system. We can go on and on and on and on and on. But yet, we seem so impotent at being able to do anything about it. I mean, look at the situation here. You got Donald Trump where he can't even stop immigration without federal judges coming along to block his executive orders. I mean, we certainly didn't see any of this under the bum. I don't recall any of it. I didn't even know that it was legally possible. And I really don't believe that it is legally possible, but yet they're doing it. Because anything that goes against this nation-wrecking agenda has to be opposed. I mean, it just comes down to that. I mean, look at the situation. And what's really astonishing is we see Hungary's Prime Minister Orban fighting against this. But look how easily they have manipulated this situation around just in the recent years for the demographic destruction that we're seeing take place in Germany, France, and Great Britain. And, you know, if you listen to Mark Collette or any of his videos on YouTube about the changes that is underway there in London and throughout the whole country, we see that it's deliberate. We see it's by design. We see the results that it's having. But yet, you know, if you go on Facebook in these countries and you try to stand up and oppose it, well, they've got the hate laws that they come after you with, which I haven't had time to check this out, but I'm sure it's true. I heard this called into another broadcast earlier in the week. But you remember the Ugly Four or whatever, those two black guys, two black girls that had tortured the mentally handicapped white guy. I forget exactly. It's been some while back. But, as I'd said, it wouldn't be Trayvon Martin. You would not get a play-by-play through the mainstream media of that case for darn sure. That's so easily predictable. But there will not be any hate crimes in that, hate charges in that. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Well, of course not. Of course not. Very rare. It's extremely rare that anyone other than white people are charged with hate crimes. I mean, the hypocrisy of this whole system and the fact that society either can't see through it or is willing to put up with the just a complete blatant hypocrisy and anti-white bias that we see in the mainstream media is unbelievable. It is unfreaking believable. But you know, I didn't really adhere to this at first when I would listen to Don Black, and he was always talking about it's got to get worse, it's got to get worse, it's got to get worse for it and get better to wake up the masses. And I've really come to grips with the fact that that is correct. You know, sad as that is, it getting worse wakes up the people. We're coming up on the top of the hour. When we come back, we got Jerry in Chicago, 1-800-313-9443. If you'd like to join in, I got a couple of clips I'm going to play next hour, but we can take phone calls in between. 1-800-313-9443. Back in moments. Razor and I walk the line on that silver blade.
know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
This is the Alternative Media, exposing government corruption, defending our suspended Constitution.